Good morning again. Glad to see everybody here this morning. Turn this on. That should work. We're going to talk about the prodigal son this morning. It comes out of Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. I was going to read the whole thing, but I think I'm going to bypass reading the verses. We know with the prodigal son, we had the younger son. This man had two sons. He had a younger son, an older son. The younger son had decided that he was done living at home. He was done living on the farm, taking care of the animals like he had been brought up to do. So he decided that he wanted to take and talk to his father. And he came to his father and told him, "Dad, I want my portion of this now. I want my money now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want to go ahead and get my money now so I can go out and do what I want to do while I'm still a young man." So he takes off. I mean, his dad agrees to it. Then a few days later, he takes off. We see that in verse 13. The young son takes off. He goes out and goes to a foreign land where he proceeds to sow his wild oats. He takes and he goes out. He is partying, having relationships with women that he shouldn't be. He's doing all these things that we know is not right as Christians, but that happens in the world today. What he was taught by his father, he shouldn't have been doing also. So he goes out and he does all this. And I'm sure as he's out here partying, he's got this big bundle of money. He's sitting here and he gets all these friends. When you sit here and you've got a pocket full of money, you start pulling money out, you've got friends everywhere. And it's like, "Hey, let's go eat. You can buy. Let's go do this and you can pay for it." I mean, so this young man had all these new friends, all these people that really he thought was his close friends. They were going to take care of him. They probably were giving him a place offering to give him a place to stay. Well, all of a sudden a famine hits. And all of a sudden that pocket of money is empty. So I'm sure all these friends just disappeared on him. Once he had no money, he had no friends. I mean, that's my guess, but that's normally the way it happens. You run out of money, you run out of friends. Or that type of friendship. But it got so bad that he took and became impoverished. He had no money. He had no way of making a living. So he decided he was going to hire himself out to a farmer. Well, this farmer was taken and let him take care of his pigs. And it finally came to him that, "What am I doing?" Just like a new Christian or a Christian or a person who's not in Christ will do, "What am I doing?" Because here he is, he's out here, he's feeding these hogs, and he is so hungry that he wants to eat what he's feeding the hogs. And anybody that's fed hogs, you know they don't get the best stuff. Especially back then, they get the scraps, they get what the dogs won't eat. So he's sitting here hungry enough that he wants to eat what these hogs are eating. And he decides, my father's people that he's done, or his workers are taken care of much better than what I am being taken care of now. I know I don't deserve to be his son, but I'm going to go back and take care and go back to live with my father and just ask him to be his hired hand. He takes off, he goes back, and while he's on his way back, his dad is out there. He's been looking for him ever since he left. I mean, he sees him up on the horizon. And his dad's ecstatic. The father just takes off running, goes to meet him. He's just unbelievably happy. And the son says, "Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. Please forgive me. Will you take me back as a hired hand? I do not deserve to be your son. I just want to come back and be around you, but I do not deserve to be your son anymore." And the father just, no, that doesn't. In his mind, he can't take that. That's not what he was hoping for. That's not what he was praying for, just like our Lord. He did not, he wants to take us back as his children. So the father takes and tells the servants, take, go get a robe, get a ring, put on his fingers, get him some sandals. My son has come back, and he is just ecstatic, just unbelievable. Just cannot believe how well, I mean, the elation that he feels is probably, we can't understand. But he is just so excited that his son is back, that he is back to be with him. And he tells the servants, go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration. This is going to be a celebration that we haven't had in a long time. Since he left, we have not had a reason to celebrate, but he has come home to us. So we're going to celebrate. Well, the Lord does that with us. He celebrates when we come home. He celebrates when any non-Christian or someone who falls away from him, he celebrates as well. He is so happy and elated that we have come home to him. But as we go through this story, we see that the older brother has been out and he's in taking care of the cat, or taking care of, I don't remember what he was actually taking care of. But anyway, he was out in the field. He wasn't at home. And he's on his way back, and he starts hearing music, and he can see some dancing going on and everything else. So he calls the servant to him. And he asks his servant, well, why, what's going on? Why are we having this party? I didn't know anything about it. And the servant told him, your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and he takes and... We're having a party for your brother. So the older brother then gets mad. Here I am. I've been here with him all this time. I've been taking care of doing everything he asked me to do. I've been doing all the following what his rules are. And never once has he offered to do anything, to give me anything. And so he says, I'm not going in. So then the father realizes that he's not come in. So he comes out and he confronts him. He says, why aren't you coming in? And he said, Father, I have done everything that you have asked me to do, and never once have you given me anything to take and celebrate with my friends. You've never even gave me a fatted goat so I could kill and take and have a party with my friends. And yet the son who took everything and ran off, went out and done all this wild living that we know we're not supposed to do. And he takes off and he goes out and he does all this. And then when he comes back, after we're getting rid of all your money, then you take and give him the fatted calf. You kill a fatted calf to celebrate. And he just cannot understand why. He thought he deserved something for being there. But the father explained to him, son, you've had everything that belongs to me. You were here with me. You could have had anything that you wanted. It's just the point of asking for it. That's all he had to do. The father would have given him anything. But your brother, who had fallen away, who had gone astray from us, is now back. He has come home, and it's a reason to celebrate. Because we didn't know if he was alive or if he was dead, but he is back with us now. And like I said earlier, the younger son you can see could be someone, relates to someone who has fallen away from Christ or God. It could also be a Christian who, or a non-Christian who is coming back. They didn't understand what they were doing to start with, but now they, once they take and realize and hear the word, then they could be coming back to Christ. And the father in this story, we see, represents God. God wants us to be his children, to be with him. He wants us to be come back to him. He doesn't want us to do it out of fear, out of worry about what's coming up. I mean, he doesn't want us to be worried about, well, hell's going to happen if I don't do what God wants. He wants us to do it because we want to. He wants us to take and follow his words because that is what we want to do. He gave us that free will for a reason. He could force us to do anything he wants to. I mean, he could make me go act like a marionette up here if that was his desire. But that's not his desire. His desire is for me to love him enough to do what he wants me to do. And that's where he's at with it, and trying to explain that to the older brother. And the older brother had this son, or his older son, he had this desire, or he had it in his head that he deserved something. So to a point, he was doing it out of fear of repercussion from his father. So to a point, he was on that verge of not being what he wanted, what the father wanted him to be as well. So he actually had two sons that were lost in this, as we see in here. But after this discussion, then you can take and see that there was a reason to rejoice. There was a reason to celebrate at the end of it, because once the older son realizes that, okay, there is a reason to celebrate, the younger son is back, then the father and God are, as far as my illustration, are elated. And we know that, and if anybody's in their Bible, you can also, we know that in Luke 15 and 7, it says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then that also, in the same chapter, if you go down to Luke 15 and 10, and this is talking about the lost coin, it says, at the end of that parable, it says, in the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So God wants all of us to repent. He would rather have however many people are on this earth, would love to have us all, the whole human world, to take and follow him. But there is a great joy in his life in heaven when we have one person who actually repents, who comes back, and who takes and follows the gospel and wants to be his children. Like I said, he could force us to do anything he wants to do, but he didn't give us that. He didn't make us for that reason. That is the one advantage, the one thing he gave us, is he gave us the Spirit to make our own minds up. We can do what we want to do, whether it's right or wrong. That's it. When you think of it in the long run, it's kind of hard for me to think that God gave us that ability, that knowledge that we can make up our minds and actually do something that's wrong for us, that's going to hurt us. But he gives us the ability also to choose him, to choose that life, to be up in heaven with him, to have an everlasting life in heaven. If we just take and come to him, follow his words, and do as he asks us to do because we want to, not because we're worried about hell, not because we're worried about what God's going to do to us otherwise. If we come back and we do it because we want it in our hearts to follow God, then we have that gift of everlasting life up in heaven with him that is better than anything we can ever think of having here. So this morning, if anyone has any reasons that they would like to come forward, if you need prayers of the church for any reason, if you need to take and just need help of any kind, if you would, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.